Good morning. Welcome to the chapel. My name is Ethan. I'm a junior here at UNL. I'm studying sports media communication and broadcasting. This week at the chapel, we're starting a new series on dangerous prayers. And this week, we're particularly focusing on the dangerous prayer of God speak to me. So if you continue to come throughout the next coming weeks, we'll continue to expand on that series and PB will preach about it. Let's start with a prayer. Lord, please be with us this morning. Guide PB's word and speak through him. And just bring us together in your word. It's a beautiful day, and we'd like to worship you. Just be with us this morning. Amen.
Thank you guys for leading us in singing. Let's have a prayer. All right, gracious Lord, we pray that you would simply help us to turn our eyes on you. I'm thinking that for a lot of us, we got plenty of things to do today, things that we didn't get accomplished from yesterday, and it's easy to get distracted. But Lord, not now, not now. This is an important time. We need to be fed in your word. We need encouragement and correction. We need guidance. Lord, we need you. And so, Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would help us to turn our eyes on you. And you need to do whatever work you need to do in us, just accomplish it today. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, welcome, those of you who are new. I'm Pastor Bill, and I've been a campus pastor. I just turned my computer off, so it's going to have to get turned on again. And I'm a campus pastor here for quite a few years, 20-some years, and I just enjoy loving on you guys and caring for you. So the next thing we do is let's say a creed. We do it here at the chapel. We use the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, but the Bible is full of creeds, and the New Testament church would have used Scripture. They would have memorized it, and they would have used it and said it back and forth together to remind themselves of, here are some core truths of what we believe as Christians. And so here's the creed. I'll say the L part. Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. All right, well done. I'm going to take this off because I think it's safe and it's kind of annoying me. And so we're starting a series called Dangerous Prayers. And the first one is, Jesus, speak to me. And this series is built on this one text from 1 Samuel 3. It's the Old Testament lesson for today, verses 1 through 10. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord as assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now and had gone to bed, the lamp of God had yet not gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of God. So Eli is a really old guy, okay? Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son. Eli said, go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know that the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. This is the Old Testament lesson. So I've had three moments in my life where God has spoken to me. One was when I was not doing well as a husband, and God stopped me in the middle of me doing something that was wrong, and God told me it was an audible voice, but I know for sure it wasn't something that was in the room, because Vanita was in the next room and she didn't hear it. And God said, "Move towards her." That's all God said. I had another time. It wasn't an audible voice, but I was just pouring myself out to the Lord, and I don't really enjoy public speaking. I don't really enjoy putting sermons together. And so I was complaining to God about the whole process of sermon writing and standing up week after week and talking. And God, in my brain, spoke to me and said, if you don't like writing sermons, let me write them for you. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, one other time I had a dream. And in this dream, I felt like I was totally awake. I was on my side. And I could feel the presence of Jesus. But I couldn't turn over. I wanted to turn over, and I tried to turn over, but I couldn't turn over. But in the midst of this dream, I was in a place that was so comforting and so full of goodness. And I said, you know, if this is anything like heaven, I'm like, you know, sign me up. And then finally, at some point, I got to a point where I forced myself to turn over, and everything was kind of like, you know, nothing was there, and it was just over. And so two nights, three nights, four nights in a row, I'm like, Jesus, would you just give me that dream? Just one more time. It's never happened since. So I know, as I tell these stories, it's like, I don't want you to think that I'm more religious than you, or somehow I'm some special person, because I am not. I am not. But we all want Jesus to speak to us. In fact, when I talk and pray walk with a lot of you, a lot of it's like, Lord, I need to know, you know, am I in the right major? Am I pursuing the right relationship? Am I moving in the right direction? Because, you know, we have a huge fear of, we don't want to make mistakes. We don't want to waste time. We don't want to waste our resources. We don't want to go through heartache. You know, we have all these great fears. And so it's like, I would love a lightning bolt. I would love Jesus to speak to me. But the reality is, it's a dangerous prayer. When Jesus speaks to us, it's a dangerous prayer. Because when Jesus speaks to us, often it's not what we really want to hear. And it wasn't that way for Samuel. Samuel had to go and tell Eli, his boss, that Eli and his two sons were completely disobeying God, and they're going to get punished. They're going to actually die for it. You know, you look at Scripture, when God actually speaks to people, it's never really an easy assignment, ever, ever. Moses, Jonah, Mary in the New Testament. You know, you think about all of these really, Noah, all of these people, none of them were like, wow, good. I'm glad God got clear to me. They're all brought into a place where God calls them. He either convicts them, or he startles them, he stretches them, he scares them. What he calls them into is, you know, impossible and uncomfortable. And in every way, he's expanding their faith. But in this Old Testament reading, I see three things that I think we just have to land on. We've got to land on these three things, especially starting our semester together. This is three things that we all need to put into practice and take seriously. The first thing I see in this Old Testament lesson is that Samuel is still. So, being still. If we're going to hear God's voice, we be still. He's lying down. He's on a mat. He's in the tabernacle. He's near the Ark of the Covenant. He's making himself available to God. This whole Ark and tabernacle thing was a place where that's where God's presence was known to be. And so he's putting himself in close proximity to where God's presence was known to be. So being still. That's why I love the songs that you guys picked for this morning. The first two songs is like, they're really kind of ramping down our RPMs and helping us to be still. So well done. The psalmist says this, we have this in our kitchen. Be still and know that I am God. If we're going to hear God's voice, will it ever be in a frantic way, in a busy way? Have you ever been able to connect with Jesus on the go, like, seek me on the go? Jesus in Luke chapter 5 does this. Despite he had just fed 5,000 people, but despite Jesus' instructions, he told them to keep quiet about things. The report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to him to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Jesus was a really busy guy, but he was never hurried. And there's a difference, right? And he would often withdraw because he needed that time with the Father to make sense of everything that was going on around him. We see Jesus doing that. We see Jesus praying on his way to the cross. We see Jesus praying and being still on the cross. And then Jesus dies and rises again, and he ascends to the Father. In Hebrews chapter 7, what do we find Jesus doing right now in heaven for all eternity for us? What does he do? What is Jesus doing right now for you? He's being still. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. For everything that you go through, he's actually in the ear of God the Father saying, hey, Melissa needs you, Father. Care for her in the midst of this. So here's my point. If Jesus, the Son of God, is choosing in eternity to be still for you, don't you think that we also need to be still? We need to be still. And that's what we see Samuel doing. Being still is exactly, and I'm not saying almost exactly, I'm saying it is exactly like working out. It is exactly like working out. Being still is, I'm not a musician, so I don't know. I can probably say that it's almost identical to actually becoming a musician. It takes an act of your will. It's a discipline. It's a decision. It takes time. Here it goes. It takes time. It actually takes a place. To be still takes a place. It requires me to say no to other stuff, just like working out. There's not immediate results, just like working out. It sometimes feels like a complete waste of time, just like working out. It's painful because it forces me to do things I'm not wanting to do and comfortable doing. It takes a strategy. I can't just sit and be still and say, woohoo, God, here I am. There takes a sense of strategy to it, like working out. And it takes repetition. You know, we just do the right thing over and over and over again, and it gets us moving in the right direction. So here's my point, is being still is a skill. It's a discipline. It's exactly like working out. And so here's kind of how it looks for me. And I float in and out of times where I'm like, I'm really consistently still before the Lord. And then I'll find myself just getting into a busy, hurried life. And then I'm kind of running high on RPMs. And I'm not praying. I'm not thinking. I'm not coming to the Lord. And then I find myself saying, oh, time out. I got to get back to what I know is good and healthy for me. So like my time is like this, you know. But here's what it looks like. I have a place. I have a chair. You got to have a place. I know it's harder for you when you live in a dorm or you live in an apartment and you have roommates and stuff. But you got to be alone where other people can't see you. You got to have your security bubble around you. And I sit down, and when I sit down, it's for me, I'm a morning guy. I sit there and I have a coffee, and I'm like, all right, Lord, here I am. And a lot of times I got this stuff to do. I go all through the stuff, the list, like, help me to slow down. And it takes me about 2 minutes to sort of just slow down. I have my Bible, I have a journal, and I'm opening through, and like for now it's in Colossians. So let's say, for example, I open up to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And I'm reading these words, and I don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to give me, but that's the point. When you slow down, let the Holy Spirit give you whatever he wants to give you. And I read a words like this. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. The Apostle Paul is saying this to this church in Colossae. The first thing that pops in my brain is, Lord, help me to love my students, you guys, the way that the Apostle Paul loves this church. And he can't stop praying for his church. So I'm going to pray. So Lord, if a person's name jumps into my brain, I want to pray for them. And I'm going to, okay, Gabe, I'm going to pray for Gabe. Amelia, okay, I'm going to pray for Amelia. And I'll let that go on for a while. But you see, my point is that I'm letting God's word kind of drive the bus. And I don't know what God's word is going to do for me. Then I go on to the next line. It says, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. And so complete knowledge, all right, spiritual wisdom. Lord, I pray that we as a chapel community, we function like a family together and we cherish the gospel. We preach the gospel to each other. Lord, I pray that as we work together, we, like the spiritual knowledge is like, we have an identity in who we are as redeemed brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can learn to understand all the false things about the false identities and lies that we can believe about ourselves that don't square with the gospel. So Lord, I want a life of repentance and that kind of thing. Anything that involves spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then the last verse, now, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And so I'm reading this, and we pray this often in our prayer walks. So Lord, I pray on this campus that more and more students have freedom from addiction. They have freedom from self-harm. They have freedom from false gods. They have freedom from all the things that just complete, like depression and anxiety, from all the things that that move us away from honoring and pleasing the Lord. I pray that we become the best of friends. So my point is this, is that I take a verse and I let the verse do whatever the verse needs to do. And sometimes it's easy and I have lots of things to think about. And sometimes it's not, you know, there's just not much there. And I just go on with the rest of my day. But you gotta have a rhythm of being still. And I'm trying to explain to you what stillness looks like for me. It involves a place, it involves a time, and it involves a section of the Bible. And often it's maybe five verses, and I let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit needs to do. The second thing I think Samuel is doing, okay, hanging in there, all right, hanging in there, he's willing. Samuel is willing. He says, your servant is listening. He's still, but he's also willing. And he's willing. He's willing to trust the process. He's willing to trust the process. Eli tells him to do something, he's willing to trust the process. And I think being willing to trust the process, God obviously speaks to us through his word, but he also speaks to us through people. There's a process in that. A lot of times we get great understanding of ourselves and correction through friends, through circumstances, you know? But my thing is that whatever it is with people and circumstances, it's always got to go back to the truth of God's word, because other people who I really love and respect, there's no guarantee that they're telling me the absolute truth. And I don't know in my circumstances if those things are absolutely true either. The only thing that I know is absolutely true is God's word. So trusting the process, being willing to trust the process, being willing to ask hard questions. That's one thing that, if there's one thing I can tell you about growing in your walk with Christ, is we do a pretty good job of laying it out there for God, of praying for our needs, but I noticed that in a lot of ways, we need to develop the ability to ask God questions, hard questions, like, Lord, my roommate is a stinker. What can I learn, and how can I love this roommate who is just a difficult person to love? Great question to ask, you know? Show me my sin. Show me my blind spots. How can I use my gifts? Lord, what's the next step? That's a great question. What's the next step in whatever, this relationship with this other person? Lord, what is robbing me of my joy? I'm fearful. Why when I'm in a new environment around unfamiliar people, I'm just caught up in fear? What's going on inside of me that I'm caught up in fear? Let the Holy Spirit says, I am a counselor. Let the Holy Spirit be your counselor. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. And it's like, what's going on inside of me that when I'm talking to my friends, I always make my problems actually bigger than they really are? Or when something great happens, I actually make it much greater than what it really is. Why do I do that? And let the Holy Spirit kind of help you figure that out. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And if you're still and if you're willing, the Holy Spirit leads you kind of on a treasure hunt. You just never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. The third thing that I see Samuel doing is this. He's ready. So he's still, he's willing, and he's ready. He's ready to obey. He's ready to obey. I often wonder for myself the reason why I don't hear more, like, I don't hear from the Lord as much as I would like, is because maybe I'm not really listening, but also maybe whatever it is that I'm going to hear, I'm not willing to obey. I'm wondering if God is just simply like, you know, I'm not going to waste my words on you, Bill Steinbauer. If your heart's not in a place where you're going to obey, why am I going to talk? I often wonder if there's a correlation there. But Samuel is ready to obey, and he does tell Eli the hard message that, Eli, you and your sons are going to you're going to die because of your rebellion against God. And Eli's like, all right. Eli actually says, the Lord's will be done. But obey. When I think about those guys that I mentioned before, Noah, Moses, Mary, Jonah, all of them were completely overwhelmed in their task, unprepared, unequipped, unqualified. But even sometimes reluctantly, God moved them to obedience. And I think it's a great preface. Lord, I don't know where my heart is completely at this moment, but if you guide me in this troubling circumstance that I'm in, I pray that you would give me the courage and the obedience to actually follow through. Whatever that looks like, I just need you to help me follow that through. This last week, the Delta Tau Delta fraternity moms have been in contact with me over the summer because of the boy who was found dead in their fraternity. And the moms, three in particular, are really concerned about their own sons. And they're concerned that they want to have somebody for them to talk to. And it's like, I'd be happy to talk to these boys. They've never reached out to me. So I've been in my prayer walks. I've been walking around their fraternity praying for them. So on Tuesday, there's three boys out and they're grilling on their patio. And the Holy Spirit was like, you got to talk to those boys. Just go up and talk to those boys. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to them. They don't know me. And I couldn't remember the names of the moms. So I don't want to go, I don't even know the names of the moms. And it just feels weird. And so I go on. I go on. And then it's like, you got to turn around. You're afraid of talking to these boys. Just do it. So I did. I went up and I just talked to them. And it's like, why was I afraid? I introduced myself. I told them that I'd offered to pray for them. And I remember the name of the one mom. And so they go like, oh yeah, he's legit. He remembered the name of that one mom. And it just reminds us like Lord, in every way, just help me to do the next right thing. Help me to obey you in the next right way. But being ready. All right, here's my last thought. I want to make sure you hear the gospel. Your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ, he chose for you, look at this, he chose for you to be still. He placed himself on a cross for you, to forgive you, to make your life have meaning. He chose to be still for you. He was willing for the joy that was set before him. He was willing to be still for you on the cross. And he was ready, all that led up to him going to the cross for you, he was ready to do the Father's will because he knew. He knew that he was going to pay for your sin. He knew he was going to give you real life, like abundant life. He knew that he was going to be with you always. And if he could conquer death for you, he'll conquer everything for you because he's your Lord and your Savior. He knew that if he could keep the promise for you of the cross, he could keep every promise for you. That's how much your Lord loves you. So this Lord who loves you wants time with you, wants to spend time with you. So be still this semester. Let's practice together this discipline of being still. We have all kinds of other disciplines. Let's do this one as well. Let's learn to be still. Let's learn to be still. All right? So I'm going to have you think about that. What does it look like for you to be still? I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. They're going to lead us in a song, give us some time to think about it, and then we'll close up our service together. Is that right? Am I right on that? Okay. Word of God speak. So we call it setting aside. It's part of our offering. Everyone can bring an offering. And it's more than just my tithe. It's every part of my life. It's my time. It's my desires. I can use my desires as an offering. It's as well as an offering of confession. Here's what I'd like you to think about, and you can go any direction you want on this, but here's a suggestion. What is your plan? What is your be still plan? If you're going to let the Lord speak into your life, what's your plan? You can take time, think about it, and write it out. And here's where it goes. On this side of this little card on your chair, you write it out. What's your place? What's your time? You know, be specific. You know, is there a book of the Bible that you're going to just start looking into and just take three, four verses a day and see what the Holy Spirit does? Don't go through the rest of this day without a plan. Let's take this seriously. So here's how you do it. You write out your plan on both sides. You break it off. One goes in the offering plate, and the other one goes in your wallet. And so you're reminded of your plan. And maybe it doesn't happen till Thursday, but you're like going to pay for something, and you say, oh yeah, my plan. But get on to God's plan, okay? So this one goes in your wallet or your purse. This one is just a card for us. If you would like to get a weekly email, we'll put you in our weekly email. We send them out on Mondays. It helps us to know who you are. I actually pray on these cards every Monday. The first thing I do is I pray over every name. And a lot of you I don't know, so I'm looking forward to getting to know you. But that's what that's for, if you want to give us your name. And this card can go in there as well, okay? So what I'm going to do is leave you with a time of thought to prepare for setting aside. Then we're going to go into a confession of sins and absolution. And then we're going to receive Holy Communion. And the way we do that is, you receive Holy Communion from that side. You pick the wine. I try to touch only your cup. You pick the bread, only your bread. And then you kind of come this way, receive the elements, and you put the empty cup in this white basket, okay? So let's enter into a time of reflection. Lord, help us in the next moments to think of our plan and how we want to take your word seriously. We know that you don't tend to communicate to us on the go. Constantly being distracted by my phone and always checking on my social media and just life. Lord, give us a tiny bit of energy. Lord, just a tiny bit to make a plan. And then, Lord, meet us in the midst of those moments. Lord, as we think about this, where's our place? What part of our schedule are we not rushed? Lord, as we prepare for Holy Communion, we acknowledge that we make time, we have tons of energy for all kinds of things. But often, Lord, we call on you when we need you. Lord, I've often been so convicted that if I treated my friends in similar ways that I often treat you, I wouldn't have any friends. And yet you continue to call me friend. Lord, forgive me for being so consumed with my ability. Forgive us, Lord, for being so rushed that we just don't see the importance of quiet, reflective time with the God of the universe. Even when I hear myself saying that, it just sounds like, I just sound so ashamed, I guess, and so humbled by it. But Lord, we confess our sins to you, our thoughts, our actions, the things we have done and we ought to do. Help us to take now in this time of quiet just a time to reflect on that. Lord, we finish up this time of prayer asking you to move on this campus. Lord, help us to be the very best of friends. We want to be the best friends on our floor. Lord, you've given us this gift of your Spirit. So we're great listeners. We're great at asking questions. We're great at being understanding and caring. We're great at that with people that we naturally do like, but we're great at that as well for people who believe and behave vastly different than us. Lord, it doesn't matter. Help us to be great friends on this campus. We want you to be evident in the way we live on this campus. Lord, we pray again for those boys in that fraternity. We pray for others who are suffering from grief. Wrap your loving arms around them and us. Remind us, Lord, that we don't go through any sadness, any anxiety. We don't go any of that alone, that you are completely involved. You inhabit every one of our needs. So, Lord, we pray this in the great name, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well done. All right, so we're going to say goodbye to our friends who are watching us online. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the dangerous prayer of making me bold. Make us bold. So thank you for joining us as we continue on with Holy Communion. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Before we have our blessing, and then we're going to have a couple announcements and lunch, I wanted to make a few introductions. Our whole purpose of being here is to invest in you and to love on you, to care for you in the midst of good times and bad times, and to help you grow in your faith. And so there's a team of us who are really setting aside time to spend one-on-one time with you and just help you grow. So I'm one of those disciplers, and I know Vanita, my wife, is one of those, and Marky is one of those, and Leanna is one. And so there are people who float in and out on Sunday mornings. There's about 10 of us who really want, if you want to grow in your faith and grow in your prayer life, grow in God's word, growing and loving and serving all those around you, we want to invest in you, and it's an hour a week of time with us, one-on-one. So just be aware that's happening. I also want to introduce, there's three interns that live here. If you ever need, regarding this space, Jackson is here, and Jeremy is here, and Michael's another guy, I don't see him here. But these two guys, there's an apartment in this space. So let's say you want to have, you know, some friends over for a birthday party or something, and you just can't do it on your floor, and you want to actually cook. We have a fully functioning kitchen here. You can go online and just go to building or see one of these guys and say, hey, Thursday night at 8 o'clock, I'd love to bake brownies with some kids on my floor. Can I use this space? And they put it in the building counter. So we want you to use this space and feel comfortable using this space for not only things like that, but studying here as well, if you're finding that you need great study space. So I just wanted to, and here's Andrew over here. I talked to Andrew's also one of the guys who would love to invest in you. So anyway, that's kind of my little announcements. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
All right, first off, please remember to thank the people who made lunch for us. It's Trinity Lutheran. They're providing the Sloppy Joes. So when you're going through the line, keep your mask on, make sure to say thank you, and then we're going to be eating outside today. So after you move through the line, move outside to the doors out there. This Wednesday, we're going to be starting our Bible huddles. Those are at 8:30 p.m. here at the chapel. That's just a time for us to come together as a community and do a Bible study. I'm not sure what the format's going to be today or this year, but normally in the past we have come together as a group for about 30 minutes at the beginning and then gone off in smaller groups for an hour Bible study. Follow us on social media. You can see our handles right there. We post relevant information about upcoming events on the chapel Instagram, on our Facebook, and on our Twitter. Also, feel free to use the outer area out there as a study space throughout the week. We love to have students in and out of the building at all times, so don't be a stranger. We also love to have more and new people for worship team. So if you're looking to get involved with the worship team playing an instrument or singing, reach out to India Wave. Perfect. on the website, you can feel free to donate. Go to chapelunl.org, go to the Connect tab in the Donate button. We welcome any and all donations. If you would like to reach out to PB or get into contact with PB, there's this phone number added to your phone. It's a very helpful task. I had his phone number before I was even a freshman on campus. I came on my visit and I entered that right away. So it's a really nice thing to have. So that is his phone number. Reach out to him. He's a great guy. Have an awesome week.